Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today you find us in a series called Ancient Wisdom. Every day we have many decisions to make. At each crossroads, we can try things on our own and lean into our own wisdom, or look to God for what He might say. When we try to do things on our own, it tends to not go very well. When we follow God's wisdom, we find that the path is true and good. We'll talk more about how this plays out in life during the month of June. Follow along and we hope you enjoy this message.
Alright, y'all. I'm probably not the Jesse you're expecting, because you haven't seen me this morning, but I'm Jesse. I'm the other Jesse intern. It's really easy to distinguish us, because Jesse's tall and dark, and obviously I'm none of those things. So, if it makes it any easier, they've started calling me short Jesse. If that's your vibe, you can do that too. But either way, I'm happy to be with y'all this morning. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to get to walk with y'all through some of these ancient wisdom ideas that we're looking at this morning. So a little bit about me. I've got a family photo to throw up. So this is my family. I'm the second youngest. So Julian is on the far left. He's the youngest. If y'all have seen him around, he plays drums in here sometimes. Then my oldest sister in the middle, my mom, and my older brother. So I actually live with my older two siblings, so it's really fun just to get to hang out with them all the time. My siblings and I are really close, so it just means a lot to me that I have that relationship with them and get to walk with them. So that's a little bit of my background, where I'm coming from. Beyond that, I've been at Fellowship for a few years now. I'm a middle school small group leader for first hour, so some of my small group guys were in here already, and I also am on the worship team, so I play in high school sometimes, which I know is a season some of y'all are getting ready to move into at the end of the summer. I hope y'all are excited for that, because high school's awesome, and you shouldn't be scared if you are, because there's a lot of great things that'll come with that. And I also hop up in here for middle school playing worship sometimes, so I've just been around for a little while. If I haven't connected with you, feel free to come up and talk to me. I'd love to say hi and just get to know y'all. So our topic for this morning is going to be self-control, as we're looking at ancient wisdom. I know that can be kind of like a trigger word for some of us, maybe. Maybe you've heard that from your parents when they're trying to get you to like behave. And I know it doesn't necessarily feel good most of the time to think about self-control, because, you know, a lot of times we want our way. But we're going to look at that, and hopefully just maybe in a different light than you're used to this morning. So I've got a scenario to walk through with y'all, and I kind of just want to get some thoughts on it. How many of y'all are gamers in the room? Who likes to video game around here? We got a few. What are some games you like? Are y'all playing the new Fortnite season? Jaden, what do you play? Minecraft. Love Minecraft. I was a huge Minecraft guy. All right, so let's just say, how many of y'all have ever been dying to relax and play a video game? You do your chores and clean your room so well that your parents can't possibly find anything wrong with it. You let out the dog, you do everything you need to do. So your parents finally say you can play your game. You rush upstairs, maybe even shoot a message to your friends that you're about to hop on, for those of y'all who play multiplayer. And as you're going to turn on your console, you see a terrible message on the screen. Update required. Yeah. So you start your update, you're like, all right, hopefully this will just take a moment, because I already told my friends I was going to hop on. But that bar starts going across the screen, it's going like 1% per minute. So now you're just sitting there waiting, and before you know it, you're already an hour into your screen time, and you haven't even got one game in. And now you hear your mom calling you back downstairs for dinner. And you let your anger get the best of you and yell back at your mom, even though she wasn't the cause of your anger at all. So my question is, when we feel passionately, is it wrong for us to trust our feelings? Who in this room thinks it's wrong for us to trust our feelings? By show of hands. Some of y'all, who thinks it's okay for us to trust our feelings? Who's maybe a little bit in the middle, like, I don't even know. Yeah. I like that. So that's kind of what we're looking at today. Our passage we're going to be in is James 1:14-21. So you can go ahead and turn there I said this morning, I'll say it again, my favorite way to say is acoustic or electric, because I'm a guitar player, as opposed to paper or digital version of your Bible. So don't read ahead. We're gonna start with 14 through 16, and I'm going to work on it a little bit at a time, so just kind of walk with me through this. It says, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters." So how do y'all feel about that? That's kind of a bummer, right? Like, that doesn't sit too happily with me, because it's like, well, man, I thought I could trust my feelings, but now I'm hearing that they lead to sin. Like, oh man, I didn't know that. So as we're kind of looking into this, this is written by James, who's actually the brother of Jesus. And he's kind of giving us a window into understanding where our temptation to sin comes from. I think a lot of times it can feel pretty confusing. Like, as we're trying to walk well with the Lord, like, for those of us who are pursuing him, we don't want to sin. Like, I think a lot of times we end up doing something that we know is a mistake, and it's like, man, how did I get here? Like, I thought I was doing well. I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but now I look back and realize that, man, that didn't turn out the way I thought it would. So the passage says it's birthed from the desires of the flesh, which is our bodies. That's like how we are tied to this world, which we know from Genesis, from the fall, that we're living in a corrupted world. So we aren't, we can't really trust ourselves the way we think we can, because we are a product of that. Like, we can't help the fact that we're human. Like, we have flesh. We're a part of this world that sin exists in. So as we're looking at this passage, we see that when our desires are led by the feelings of our flesh, they grow into sinful action. That's what the passage says. So as we grow into sin, that leads into what the Bible describes as death, or like separation from God. So it's kind of a sad message to hear, because it's like, yeah, I don't want that for myself. But I'd love to continue on in this passage and see what else James has to say. Because I don't want to believe that we're just doomed to fail, right? Like, of course we have our flesh, but there's got to be some hope, right? So in 17 and 18 it says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession." So this is kind of a bit of a contrasting view, which is nice. It's a little bit of a breath of fresh air. It's like, okay, that's nice that we don't have to hear about death and sin all the time. So here we see that goodness and perfection are coming down from the Lord. So it's kind of a little bit of a parallel, because it talks about birth two different times in this passage. The first one is our actions giving birth to death, or birth to sin, which grows into death. And now we're hearing, all right, it says he, being God, chose to give us birth by giving us his true word, which is a little confusing. I'd dive into this one a little bit. So how many of y'all have heard the term like born again? Yeah, I think most of us. So that's kind of what this is talking about here. So it's saying that in our sin, like kind of as we were living in our death, the Lord, through his true word, which is the gospel, so when we hear the message of God's saving power for us, how he wants to come into our lives, we get this opportunity to have new life in him, or like a born again, kind of come to Christ moment, where we now become his prized possession. Like, he loves us. He calls us his children. I mean, he loves you anyway, whether you choose him or not. But in this moment, he's redeeming us and bringing us into new life. So it's that contrasting view that, all right, well, it said in the first part of the passage that my actions lead to sin, but now it's saying that I have new life in Christ. So how does that add up? Like, you're saying I'm still living in sin, but I thought I had new life in Christ. You're right. And what this is meant to show is that in our new life, we are made to reflect God. So we're his prized possession. We're made in his image. And because of that, we're actually supposed to be like a tangible representation of him, like in the world. How many of y'all have ever wrestled with the idea that you like can't see God. I know I have, like, a lot of times. It's like, it'd be really easy if I could just like look and see him. Like, oh yeah, there's God. I know he exists. I can see like the nail wounds in his hand like the disciples did. Like I've always loved that they had the chance to do that, and I would love to get the chance to do that here. But it's kind of this unique perspective, because we are actually meant to be that representation of him here to one another. So the Lord created us in his image. That's what it says in scripture. And here it's saying, and we became his prized possession. So like out of all the things he created, he decided to put his image onto us and be like, yeah, you are my image on earth to one another. So what does that mean as we talk about our emotions and self-control? Is that we're meant to reflect God in that way. God shows emotion. And it's a good thing that we do as well. So I want to keep going in this scripture, and you'll kind of see how this ties together. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So rid yourself of all filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So this is where the two worlds kind of collide a little bit. So we have our desires, which it says leads to death when we follow the things that we want. And then it has God over here that says good and perfect things come from him, and he imparted his personality, his image onto us. So how are we meant to live in that? I think that God has given us a way to experience our emotions righteously in a way that glorifies him and in a way that brings life to ourselves and to others around us. It's kind of interesting to look at, talking about our example of like anger with our mom, that God actually shows anger as well in the Bible, which I think anger can kind of have a bad representation. Like most of the time when we think of anger, it's like towards somebody, maybe in a hurtful way. It's kind of hard to look at an example of anger in our lives and be like, yeah, I think that I did that in a righteous way. So it's like, how does God do that? Well, when we look in scripture, I think God's anger often comes from passion for his people and a desire for justice. Like he wants to see good happen. He wants things to be right in this broken world. So that's like when in the garden, the Lord sees that Satan has, you know, misled Adam and Eve, and he casts him out of the garden. That's like a desire for justice. He's like, what you did wasn't right. So how does that relate to us? How are we meant to live in that? Does that justify our response? Because it's like, yeah, we're made to reflect God. So when I get angry, it's fine, right? Because that's what he gave to me. I think what this passage is inviting us into is the opportunity to react or respond. So when we have that moment where we're angry with our mom, are we meant to just go off of our feelings? I don't think so. I think that what God is calling us into is to take a breath, think about what he wants for us. In those moments, think about what the desire he's given you is. In that moment, I think that when you have worked hard for your screen time, like you've done all the things you're supposed to do, it's been a long day, you're ready to just sit down, you have desire for rest, you have desire for justice, like for what's right. It's like, yeah, I worked for this, I earned this, so I should be able to get this. So in those moments, it's not wrong for you to be feeling angry or upset. But I think what the Lord wants us to do is say, hey, like, oh, this is really frustrating. I wanted to play my game. But I know that my mom isn't out to get me. She's not the reason that I'm frustrated right now. She cares for me and she loves me. So I want to respond well to that. I want to pause and acknowledge, all right, God, you've given me this desire for justice, but I know that you love and care for me. And so I'm going to do what's right in this moment. I'm not going to act on my flesh in a way that's hurtful to my mom. I'm not going to yell at her. I'm going to take a moment to pause and respond to this. So another example of this, I've been talking about anger a lot, but this isn't just anger. I think it can apply to any emotion. So let's just say that you're at school you're kind of off to the side, but you catch a conversation that your friend is having, and you just hear them say something negative about you. This was kind of an example that I used at Adams Mill a few weeks ago because I preached over there. I had a friend who did that with me. Like, he didn't even realize I was in earshot, and he kind of just said something that was really negative and really affected my self-view. Like, it made me want to just slink back into a corner and just think badly about myself. And I think in that moment, that sadness I was feeling was also something that the Lord implanted in me, is that I have a desire to feel valued. You know, the Lord has a desire to feel valued. That's why he calls us into a relationship with him. It's not a Christian contract. It's not a contract with God. It's like, oh, well, you said right here that you are accepting my spirit, so now you do what I say. That's not at all what this is. The Lord wants to call us to him, to walk closely with him as a friendship, as a relationship, for him to guide us. So yeah, we have that same desire to feel valued that he does. And so in those moments, instead of looking at ourselves and saying, oh wow, like, I feel really hurt right now, I feel like just trash, we can say, what truth am I believing right here? Am I believing truth that I know? Or am I looking to the Lord and saying, hey, in this very passage, it says, I'm his prized possession. Like, I am what he loves most, and he has placed so much value on me that he was willing to send his son to die for me. So yeah, in those moments, we have a chance to react, and even that doesn't feel like such an active reaction as like an anger outburst, but that is an action. It's like how we look at ourselves can lead us into sin and death as well. It's like, am I looking at something perfect that God has created, myself, and saying like, wow, that is less than adequate? I think that's something that can lead us into death as well. So kind of my challenge for y'all is to think about where you sin regularly. You know, it could be anger, some sort of frustration. It could be an intense sadness. What truths are you believing in those moments? And would you, in those moments of temptation, look to the Lord, consider what he has for you, and ask, like, what need am I experiencing right now that God has given? That is like a God-given need. And how can I pursue that? How can I live in that in a way that's righteous and life-giving? The Lord has given us his gospel and his word for us to have new life. That's that language it was using when it says that he has given us new birth through his word. So we can live in that, because the Bible also says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So it's like, if our question is, how can we have self-control? How can we live out our feelings that we have in a way that's righteous and life-giving? It's to cling to the Father, to look to him and be like, all right, you're the way to do this. You have the truth and you have the life. Like, you have given me that gift of new life in you. So how can I live in that today? So another verse that I have to kind of bring us to a close a little bit is Galatians 5, 22 through 23. You can turn there if you want, or it'll be on the screens, and I'll just read it quickly. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So it's saying, there's no way to look at these things in this list. These are attributes of God. And this is fruit that the Holy Spirit brings forth out of us. It's saying there's no law against these things, which means there's no way for people to look at these things and be like, see you over there loving people. I don't know if you're supposed to be doing that. I see you being gentle with your mom. I don't think that's good. There's no law against these things. There's no way for other people to rightly look at these things and tell you that's wrong. So this is what the Lord is calling us into: to be gentle, to show patience, to have self-control as a reflection of him. So when we choose to reflect and ask what he has for us in those moments, that's going to allow us to live out our feelings in a way that's like more satisfying. because we're meant to have these desires, so it's not wrong. Like, if you're angry, you shouldn't just shove that down, but you should say, like, hey, what am I desiring for right now? And maybe that doesn't look like when your mom asks you to do something frustrating, you go, all right, mom, give me a minute. I need to pray about this for 10 minutes and seek my answer from the Lord. I don't think it has to be that intense, but I do think it could be like just taking a breath and being like, okay, I know what I want to do, but I also know that my desires are kind of faulty, like they're corrupted by this world, so I have to listen to the Lord in this moment and be gentle, like have self-control with these things. So that's what I have for y'all this morning. We're going to hit some breakout groups really quick, so if you want to pair up in kind of groups of three or four for me, I've just got a few questions that we'll talk amongst your group in, and then we can kind of throw some answers out.